Welcome to episode 58 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, as always, Matt Skura, and we got my fantastic co-host, Mr. Caleb Koenig. Caleb, how are you doing this fine Friday, September 17th? Feel good Friday.
Feel good Friday. FGF. I'm feeling good. You dig what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm doing good, my boy. Blessed Friday. How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling good this fine Friday, you know, getting the weekend started off right. And, you know, just getting excited to be talking about football here this upcoming week. It's going to be phenomenal. But before we get into any of our topics that we'll be discussing this episode, Caleb, where can the listeners of this episode find all of the great work that you do?
Oh, man, where can they find me? They can find me on Instagram at 1CalebConant. That's 1CalebConant. They can find me on Twitter at CalebConant2. CalebConant2. Click that link tree in the bio. You can find plenty other things and things that I work on as well. I want to make an announcement, and I might as well start now and do it. So I work with this program that mentors kids, and we try to inspire kids through life principles, using, you know, inspiring life principles. And we also, you know, try to give kids different experiences that any regular kid wouldn't get on a regular day. So, with that being said, there's this donation page called Long Beach Gives. Everybody that's listening can go on Google, type in Long Beach Gives, go to the organization, look up BOSS, just how you spell BOSS, B-O-S-S, and then you can donate. You can find my page there. You can donate. You can find any other kids' page there, and you can donate as well. At the end of the day, all the money goes to the kids and helping them get experience. So I wanted to put that out there for any of you guys who would like to donate. Go ahead and do that. Long Beach Gives on Google. Type in BOSS, B-O-S-S, Business of Student Success is what it means. And you can donate right there to anybody you want. At the end of the day, any money you donate to whoever you donate to, it gets used for each and every kid in there to, you know, have school supplies, have resources, and be able to see things that you can't regularly see on a regular day. So thank you, Matt, for giving me the space to announce that. But bro, I turn my head left, I turn my head right, I look up, I look down, I look on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you're all around. Where can they find you, bro?
Man, they can find my stuff. My Twitter is at @Matt_Skura, Instagram at @Matt_Skura20. I have a link tree in both of those bios. And once you click that link tree in either bio, either one, whether you're on my Twitter or Instagram, it gives you access to this very podcast, MCS Real Sports Podcast. It gives you the link to where each podcast is uploaded to. Whether you're listening on iHeartRadio, on Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, or even the app Anchor, you name it, it's available anywhere to listen to. And while you're listening to the episode, if you like the episode, you could like the episode. And if you have a chance to give us a rating, why not rate us a 5-star? And why not? And also, if you would like a certain topic to be discussed in our future episodes, leave a comment there, whether it's on the podcast itself or on Caleb and I's Twitter and Instagram accounts. We'll make sure we could throw that topic in one of our future episodes. And, you know, as always, we appreciate you guys for listening to this episode and our past episodes that we do.
Yes.
With that being said, let's move on to some of our topics of discussion for this episode.
Hold on, Matt. I got to add on one thing before we move on to these fire topics we got, because we got some fire topics. Believe that, as we always do. But anybody who's willing to come up here and challenge and our takes or has their own hot take, do not be afraid to let me know, because a seat might be open for you to do that. You know what I'm saying? That's all I wanted to let them know. Now let's get back into these topics we got going on.
That's right. It's an open debate table for anybody, whether you have a topic like Caleb mentioned, or if you think that, you know, our topic or saying that we have could be incorrect and you want to add in your own input, you are more than welcome to do that. Let's move on to Thursday Night Football. As many of you guys know, the Thursday Night Football game went down last night, and it was another beautiful football game. So far, we've gone 2 for 2 on Thursday Night Football games, both games ending off of game-winning field goals, as some of you guys may know. But for those of you who do not, the New York Giants played the Washington Football Team at FedEx Field, and the Washington Football Team won the game off a game-winning field goal by a final score of 30-29. I'll throw this question out to you, Caleb. After watching this game, was this more of a bad loss by the Giants, or was this more of a statement win by the Washington Football Team, especially knowing that this was Caleb Heinicke's first ever win as a starting quarterback?
Man, you know what? That's such a great question that I think this is more of a statement win for the Redskins. I think this is honestly a statement win for the Redskins. You look at the Redskins' defense last night. Looked nice. Front D-line looked nice. You got Chase Young. He's going to be a guy that's wrecking shit for a long time. You got Jonathan Allen doing his shit. Matthew, man, I can't say his last name, but Matthew I. It's called, I don't know how to say his last name. It's kind of like Identinus or some shit. But he's a great defensive tackle. He got hurt. Didn't see him come back in. Hopefully he gets better. Pray for his speedy recovery. But their defensive line is just so impressive, bro. And I just, after seeing them, like, I'm like, man, once they have a quarterback that's like, even like a Josh Allen, you know, they'll be ready, like championship ready, because their defense is there. They're proving that their defense is there. So in this one, man, I'm going to go with a statement win for the Washington Football team. Also, another statement win for Taylor Heinicke, because how we played last night, you know, I got a question. Is he the starter from now on, or are we still looking at Ryan Fitzpatrick?
We'll definitely have to see there. I do believe Taylor Heinicke made a great case to potentially be, you know, the QB1 of the future, but I feel like I'm going to need to see more of a sample size to kind of go to that final determination. I want to see how Heinicke plays, you know, the next three to four games. If Heinicke continues to play well in those 3 to 4 games, that's when I would say, all right, QB1, you've earned it. But for right now, I would still ride with Fitzpatrick whenever he gets back from injury. But if Washington gets red hot, if they're one of those teams to where they still have a solid record, if maybe they're hovering above 500 or just about, you know, a game or two above 500, maybe you might stick with the hot hand in Heinicke. So it'll be something we'll have to wait and see. But I am going to go from a different viewpoint. You made great points about this being a statement win for the Washington Football Team, which it definitely is. I'm going to go more of a bad loss by the New York Giants.
Reason
being is the Giants had this game. But the thing with the New York Giants is it always seems like they always shoot themselves in the foot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at Daniel Jones, they were up 3. I believe it was 23-20. Daniel Jones throws a perfect pass to Darius Slayton, who's wide open. Blown coverage by the Washington defense. Slayton is wide open. Could have been, and he drops an easy gimme touchdown. Now, some people may make the case, you know, oh, Daniel Jones, he may have slightly overthrown it. But if you're a receiver in the NFL, you're paid to catch whatever the quarterback throws. Daniel Jones throws it perfectly to him, and Slayton drops the ball. I mean, that literally right there was a turning point in the game, because if Slayton catches that for a touchdown, the Giants are up by 10. And I believe this is in the fourth quarter. They're up 10 with about 10 minutes left, and they have control of the game. But because Slayton dropped the ball, Washington had a chance. They took the lead. But you also have to consider Heinicke threw an interception with less than 3 minutes left in the ballgame. Taylor Heinicke almost threw the game away with the interception. The Giants were only down 1, 26-27. And all the Giants did was settle for a field goal. Bless you. All they did was settle for a field goal. And you know, when you're in a football game and you're down in the final 3 minutes, you cannot settle for a field goal, regardless of who the quarterback is. Because if you're set up in perfect position, you're literally set up at the Washington football team's 25-yard line. You only need 25 yards to score a touchdown. You definitely strive to cash in for a touchdown, one, to make Washington pay for their mistake, and two, if you score that touchdown and get a two-point conversion, you're up 34-27, and Washington has to get a touchdown just to even have a chance in this game. But because you couldn't get a first down, you have to settle for a field goal. Granted, you still have the lead, but you're only up two, and all Washington has to do is get it just enough in field goal range, and then they win the game. And what happens? Taylor Heinicke does exactly that. Taylor Heinicke has a phenomenal two-minute drive, gets the ball down the field, passing around to Logan Thomas, Terry McLaurin, passing to his guys. He perfectly executes it and gets into field goal range. But if you're the Giants, you look at that and say, you know, it's tough. We may have only get a field goal range. But if they miss it, you know, we have a chance to win the game. And what happens? They have a 48-yard field goal. Snap's good. Hold is good. But the kick is wide to the right. People think the Giants win the game, but there's a flag on the play. What's the flag on? Offsides defense by the New York Giants. And that's just simply something that you cannot have. You can't have that if you're the New York Giants. And it happened. So now instead of it being a missed kick, the Giants win, and they get out of Washington with the win. Instead, it's a 5-yard penalty. Move the ball up instead of a 48-yard field goal attempt to a 43-yard field goal attempt. Washington attempts the re-kick with no time left, and they make the kick, and they win the game.
Woo-wee!
And, you know, that's just simply, if you're the New York Giants and you're trying to improve off of last season to where you ended on a high note, you know, you almost won the division, you get Kenny Golladay in the offseason, you make some moves, and you're back to 0-2. And I saw the stat line to where the New York Giants, for the fifth consecutive season, have an 0-2 start. And if you're the Giants, that's just simply a heartbreaker of a loss, just because this is against a division rival. Any loss against a division rival hurts. But just the way how you lost this game is simply something that could have easily been preventable. If the defense didn't go offside, you win the game. Now, if the Washington kicker made the kick and you go offside, that's one of those where it's like, you know, it's tough you went offside, but, you know, at least you prevented a make. But the guy missed the kick and you went offside. That's the ultimate double whammy.
It has to hurt.
That's why personally I'd say it's more of a bad loss by the Giants, just because of the little things. The little mistakes that are made is what cost the Giants the game. Because the Giants, if they don't make those mistakes, they're 1-1, and Washington is 0-2, and we have a whole different spectrum, a whole different outlook of this game. But because the player went offside and the kicker missed the kick while you went offside, it allowed them to get a second chance. They make the kick. They win the game. And now the Giants sit back at 0-2 and pretty much question everything. You know, whether Daniel Jones still has it. Is Saquon Barkley 100% back? You know, what's wrong with the Giants defense? You know, all the moves made in the offseason. You also saw on the sideline Kenny Golladay get a little frustrated with Daniel Jones. You know, it's just one of those. Now it's the whole question of, you know, you're off to a slow 0-2 start. You make all these moves, but it still seems like everything is still the same. There hasn't been any changes made. Now there's a lot of questions circling around the New York Giants. So hopefully for the Giants, and I've stated in episodes past that this is the most important year of Daniel Jones' career, because if he can't get it together, then the Giants are going to move on from quick and get another quarterback. Because as some of you guys may know, there's a lot of speculations going on, you know, throughout the NFL world. And, you know, with a guy who we'll be talking about later on this episode, a guy by the name of Cam Newton. where, you know, if the Giants, if they continue to struggle. Now, I will say, this is not a game to where you blame Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones did everything he could in that game. 22 of 32, 249 yards, a touchdown, didn't have a turnover.
95 rushing yards. Don't forget to mention it.
Exactly. And as Caleb mentioned, on nine attempts.
On nine attempts, in which, if he can do that, that makes the Giants that much better. The little mistakes, you got to learn from them. You got to learn from those. In sports, they're going to happen. That just teaches you, you need to fucking, you know, slow the game down. Slow it down. You need to execute it all the way through. All the way through. For you to get a win in any sport, you have to execute all the way through. And it's the little things often that decide the game. But if he could do that, that allows Saquon to do what he did last night. 13 attempts, 65 yards, very quiet night. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But nobody's really talking about it. Nobody was like, oh, Saquon at 65 yards. No. But if Daniel Jones can run like that, I think it takes a little bit of attention off of Saquon so he can get himself back right and do what he was supposed to do. Or do what he's what he expected him. Didn't mean to interrupt you, but go ahead, my boy. Finish
it. One thing I will say is, you know, it was definitely a good bounce back performance with Daniel Jones, just because Daniel Jones did not look good week one against Denver. He was not good. He turned the ball over a lot. He did definitely rebound in this game. And, you know, I just simply believe, you know, there was just the little things that affected the Giants in that game. It's that Darius Slayton dropped touchdown pass. It's that offside play with 5 seconds left in the ball game. Those little things, if the Giants could clean up those little things, you know, they could be a good team. Now, one thing I will say is that Daniel Jones, you had this good of a performance in week two. You better bounce back in week three, just because, you know, what's the saying around Daniel Jones? He's very inconsistent. He's very on and off. He can have a game. He could have a game like this where he's perfect with the ball and then perfect on the run. And then he could have a game like last week against Denver where he's a turnover machine, makes bad reads, bad decisions, and they lose the game all because of him. So I just want to see how he plays week three. But for the Giants, man, this is just a heartbreaking loss. This is something that, you know, you can't have. And if you're a team that's trying to make the playoffs, now I personally don't believe they will. You know, this is a loss to where, you know, you look at it as a team and just simply say, man, we really let this one slip. And, you know, that's
one of those games that are like the deciding factors. Like, dang, if we would have won that game that we lost by one, we'd be in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look from a Giants point, you can look at it and say, man, we could have played spoiler to Washington. We could have, if Washington makes the playoffs and the Giants miss it by a game because Washington has one more win, you could have looked at that and said, man, if we would have won that game, if our guy didn't go offside, like you mentioned, Caleb, we could have been in that position, or we could have had an opportunity to compete in the wild card game. With that being said, let's move on to another topic of discussion. I threw out this man's name earlier, and his name was Cam Newton. Cam Newton, as many of you guys know, is a free agent. He is not occupied by any team at all. After this Thursday night game, Caleb, do you believe Cam Newton should be signed to one of these teams, the Giants or the football team, or do you believe he should go somewhere else as a backup role?
You know what, man? That's a great question. Great question. After seeing Henke last night, we recapped his great performance. Even Chase Young backed him in his post-game speech. You know, he said he backed Taylor Henke. So, not that Cam Newton doesn't have a chance to go to the Redskins. I would love to see Cam with the Redskins reunite with Ron Rivera. He fits in. Terry McLaurin on offense. You got Gibson as a running back. I'd love to see what they could do, and I definitely think they could be competitive with Cam. But I think, like, there are a bunch of other teams out there that he could fit in, even if he were to be a backup. But I think the Giants would be a great team. I think the Giants would be a very, very great team for him to sign to. He might initially have to take that backup role, kind of like a Ryan Fitzpatrick type of thing. But somewhere, somebody's name is going to get called. And if he's there, I think it gives him a good opportunity to show that, you know, he's worthy of or what he's worthy of. So, I mean, I would say the Giants, and maybe he's going to have to accept a role initially as a backup to become a starter. And he feels he's worthy of being a starter. And I feel the same way. I think he could start in this league as well. But to go somewhere and sign and immediately be a starter sends a weird message to the rest of the team. So that's why I feel like if he could accept a backup role, he would be at a team much faster and his name would get called eventually. What team that may be, it could be a bunch of them. He has a lot of fits. But I think the Giants are perfect because they need a quarterback who is a veteran. You feel me? They have Kenny Galladay. They have Saquon. Cam Newton's also a threat running the ball. I think he'll fit very, very good in New York. I'm thinking of some other teams. I don't really know. Who do you think and where do you think Cam fits?
Man, I will say, after watching this Thursday game, I think both those teams are fine at quarterback, but one team that I believe will make the most sense, I honestly believe, would be the Dallas Cowboys. The reason why I would say the Dallas Cowboys is just simply for the fact of their backup quarterback is Cooper Rush. Don't get me wrong, Cooper Rush, you know, congrats on making it to the NFL, but if Dak Prescott suffers another injury, the Cowboys are going to falter again like they did last year just because they don't have a reliable backup. Dallas last year, their backups were Andy Dalton, Ben DiNucci, and Cooper Rush. You saw Andy Dalton in for a little bit, and Andy Dalton was not good. He was okay. He wasn't going to win you a game. He was more along the lines of going to lose you a game. I feel like if you put Cam Newton in as that backup quarterback role, and because my personal opinion, there's no way he's starting over Dak Prescott. If both guys are 100% healthy, Dak is QB1, Cam's going to be QB2. And, I mean, you look at Cam Newton, he even mentioned that, you know, even though, like, Mac Jones won the QB1 role in New England, he said he was fine with being a backup. He said, I believe in the interview with his dad, he said, you know, I was okay with being the backup guy, but the Patriots just didn't want that pressure. Like, Mac Jones didn't want to know that, you know, he's behind him. He's like that next guy. So I think with Cam Newton kind of accepting, you know, as a role of like, you know what, you know, I may not be my MVP self 5 years ago. I may not be that 2015 Cam Newton where I just run the ball, do whatever I want, do my own thing. You know, maybe I realize, you know what, maybe I can be a backup role. And I think him being in Dallas, if Dak Prescott has another injury, which we hope doesn't happen, we hope Dak Prescott stays fully healthy because we saw him play on Thursday, man, against Tampa, and he looked phenomenal. He looked fantastic. Yep. But that just in case role, just in case if Dak Prescott gets hurt, you have a QB like Cam Newton in, you know you'll have a chance to win. And depending on how long he's out, you know if you have Cam Newton in, you can be like, you know what? If we have Dak Prescott and he's hurt, you know, like 4 to 6 weeks, you throw in Cam Newton, we're at least going to be, depending on the teams that we play, at least 500, bare minimum. Bare minimum, we could stay afloat if we have Cam Newton in and we could wait for Dak Prescott. But if Dak gets hurt and your backup quarterback is Cooper Rush, I'm sorry. You're not getting the job done with Cooper Rush. The team is going to falter and your season's going to be over. But with Cam Newton there as your backup, you at least have an opportunity knowing that, hey, you know, we could still stay afloat in the playoff race. You know, we could still stay afloat and be a playoff contender team until Dak Prescott returns. Once Dak Prescott returns, you know, if we're still in the hunt, bam, you insert in Dak, and it's going to be a momentum push, and that can propel us to the playoffs. But that's just me personally. I believe Cam would be best as a backup role. I mean, you made a great point, Caleb, in mentioning Cam to the Giants, but I just almost think that's almost the same replica as Daniel Jones. Like, it's almost the same identical quarterback, just for the simple fact of they're both mobile quarterbacks and they could both run. And they're throwing, they're both a little shaky, you know, throwing the ball.
Hear you, totally. But let's bring it to this point. Cam Newton, he can protect the ball, right? Hasn't been a question. Has Cam Newton had a receiver like Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, Darius Slayton? Has he ever had a receiving core like that?
I would say the closest he had was that Super Bowl run. But then again, their main guys were pretty much, I believe it was Greg Olsen. And I would honestly say pretty much, I think, Devin Funchess and like Jonathan Stewart as a running back. But you are correct. This would be, you know, probably this best receiving core that he has had. Yes. You know, throughout his career. Like, obviously, you know, like Greg Olsen, his heyday is obviously way better than Evan Ingram. That's a fact. But, yeah. I mean, you look at, besides from that point, yes, if he were to go to the Giants, it would potentially be the best receiving core that he has had.
Yes. Not that the receiving core covers blocking, right? The blocking situation is very, very needed. Again, Dallas made a great point. Dallas, he would go there. He'd have all the line that he needed. His receiving core would be there. His running game would be there. It just makes so much more sense. I think the Giants are just a perfect fit just because his name will be called eventually. Like, if Daniel Jones, he could be the starter the whole year. If he's playing how he's playing right now, he will not be the starter the whole year. But if they don't have a backup that they want to look at or want to showcase their skill, then Daniel Jones will just finish out the year. But I like your point with the Dallas Cowboys because it does make sense. For anybody who's listening to the podcast right now, you know my boy Matt relocated to where? Let him know again.
I did relocate to Texas.
Texas. So he's not too far from Jerry Jones. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to suggest you go down to Dallas Stadium or wherever they practice, wherever Jerry Jones' office is. Let him know. Maybe you start in a rally, a Cam Newton to the Cowboys rally.
Yeah, I could definitely try and hop on that train just to see, you know, how many people I could persuade and influence.
Yeah, I like that. Sounds good.
But yeah, overall, I feel like great points made on both sides. I could very well see possibly the Giants as well, especially if Daniel Jones struggles. You know, if he's still a consistent, I could see them signing Cam as being a guy of like, hey, look, Daniel, if you don't turn your performance around, you know, we'll throw Cam in. And, you know, Cam Newton, he's going to come with a chip on his shoulder. Like, here I am. I got another opportunity. If I play good again, you know, I could possibly cash in, you know, for free agency. But yeah. then you look at Daniel Jones and simply say, okay, you know, Daniel, if Daniel Jones' performance is still good, I don't think they'll look at another backup. But if he continues to have those inconsistencies, a backup quarterback like Cam Newton is definitely going to be looked at with higher expectations. But with that being said, let's move on to another topic of discussion. And let's talk about paper, baby. Marshawn Lattimore, a couple days ago, got paid the big bucks. He signed a 5-year, $97.6 million extension that includes $68.3 million guaranteed.
Oh, we love that.
For 5 years. Caleb, you see Marshawn Lattimore get this big extension, especially after the ass kicking that they put on the Green Bay Packers in week one. How impressed were you seeing that Marshawn Lattimore got his extension? And did he and the Saints make the right call to extend that man?
Oh, yeah, we did, bro. We were hurting for a cornerback for a good-ass minute before we even got him. And he's obviously doing his thing. We got all of our receivers. Marshawn's island, you know what I'm saying? He's doing his good thing. He's doing his thing with holding down receivers that come into the dome and play every week. We need a cornerback that is able to lock down these receivers every week. There's somebody on that opposite side that's a receiver that you have to worry about, and you gotta have some DBs to cover, or else they will torch you up. With the game right now, the game is a lot more passing. It's just like the NBA. Threes, threes, threes. the game is so much more passing, and the receivers are playmakers. So you gotta have DBs who could make it a little tougher and maybe shut down one side of the field or one part of the field, just because quarterbacks are so scared to throw in that direction. So I think he brings a lot of value to our team. That money, that contract, well deserved. Now it's about, you know, retooling some more pieces on defense to build around him. I think, you know, they're going to build a defense around him after Cameron Jones and a couple of our old guys make this run for us and get out of here. How do you feel about that bag? Do you feel that Saints should have waited or maybe even not have extended him? We could have let him go and maybe dip into free agency. What do you think this – What approach would you have taken as a GM?
No, I believe they made the right decision extending Marshawn Lattimore. I think this was a decision to where, you know, you had to make it. You know, you had to eventually pay Marshawn Lattimore, and why not pay him, you know, just after week one? You know, why not give him that extension? So now you won't have to worry about, you know, his contract later on into the season, because if his performance gets better as the season goes on, he's going to want more money. But giving him the money that he wants now, I believe was the perfect decision by the New Orleans Saints. It just helps that, you know, it has come right after, you know, the Saints just annihilated the Packers and just shut them down on all fronts, you know, holding them 3 points. It just makes that even better that it happened. But I believe it was well-earned, well-deserved contract by Marshawn Lattimore. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, he continues his play and continues to do well. And, you know, just hopefully, you know, his play gets better, because you look at Marshawn Lattimore as I believe he's one of the best corners in the NFL. Like, I mean, you look at top corners, you got the Jalen Ramseys, you got Tre'Davious White, Jaire Alexander. And you got to throw in Marshawn Lattimore's name in the hat and, you know, Stephon Gilmore whenever he's healthy. You know, you round up like those top five corners. You have those top five corners. Marshawn Lattimore's name has to be in those top five corners. And I think he earned that money. He has played very well with the Saints. I mean, you look at the last couple of years, you know, before the Saints had a phenomenal defense in 2017, their defense was known for being atrocious. Everybody knew that, oh, the defense let down Drew Brees and the Saints again. But it seems like ever since they drafted Marshawn Lattimore, that defense has just been getting better and better and better, and it has led the way by Marshawn Lattimore.
It fucked up, though. We've made a lot of mistakes. Remember that mistake against the Vikings where we missed the tackle? I think it was 2 years in a row where we missed the tackle, the Diggs play, the Kyle Rudolph play, and the Rams play.
Yeah. But the thing that I will say about that is it wasn't on Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore has improved the defense to where they aren't a liability on them losing the game. It gave Drew Brees and the Saints kind of a, you know, like the last 4 years, gave them an opportunity to try and give Drew Brees a Super Bowl ring before he retired. Obviously, we know they did not get that job done, but they had opportunities to have a chance to get the job done.
Yeah, you're right. And with a good defense, it provides even more opportunity. So you're right. And they weren't on Lattimore. Those mistakes weren't on Lattimore. But you're right. You got a good point. I was going to say, like, don't get it fucked up. Our defense was still a little twisted. We're still getting a lot better. But, mm-hmm. You know, those mistakes often kind of fall down on one person. But then again, it's the little things. Like you mentioned earlier in the episode, it's the little things. Little things can win a game or save a game.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Let's move on to our big week one standout stories. Obviously, a lot of crazy things happened. And in week one, we saw the Cincinnati Bengals pull off the upset over the Minnesota Vikings. We saw the Arizona Cardinals pull on the beatdown against the Tennessee Titans. Chandler Jones, the main highlight, getting 5 sacks in that game. A lot of stuff went down in that week one. I'll start off first by saying my week one standout has to be Jameis Winston and his performance against the Green Bay Packers. If you were to tell me before week one, Jameis Winston would go 14 of 20, have 148 yards, and 5 touchdowns, I would simply say this is not Florida State Jameis Winston. That's not the Jameis Winston that I know. The Jameis Winston I know would have 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and Green Bay would ultimately find a way to win the game. But that did not happen. Jameis Winston had a phenomenal performance, did not turn the ball over, and the Saints throttled my beloved Green Bay Packers 38-3 in Jacksonville. So just for the simple fact of we didn't see this kind of performance from Jameis Winston coming. You know, maybe we could have saw, you know, maybe 2-3 touchdowns, you know, maybe a turnover or there. But I don't think anybody expected a performance like Jameis Winston had, where he had 5 touchdown passes and didn't even have to eclipse 150 yards. He threw under 150 yards. Yeah, he had 5 touchdowns. Just overall impressive by Jameis Winston. I did not expect that. I did not expect that coming. And, you know, it just, in my opinion, gives more of a good luck charm for Jameis Winston. You know, in my honest opinion, I've kind of been pulling for Jameis a little bit, you know, seeing, you know, from his side interviews, he's got to be one of the funniest men, you know, I've ever seen. You know, his post-game interview where he simply said, you know, where he was after the win, he was simply saying, you know, man, we were prepared. You know, what did my trainer say? You know, he just said to come out prepared. You know, I mean, just the Jameis Winston, man, he's just a funny guy. You know, I love seeing him play. And, you know, this is the kind of energy that I like to see out of Jameis Winston, just because, you know, if Jameis plays like this, maybe the Saints could be a sleeper to make the wild card. Now, I personally did not have the Saints making the playoffs, but I did have them just barely missing the playoffs. Maybe after this week one, if Jameis Winston and company can continue this momentum, and when they get Michael Thomas back in week 7, if they continue playing dominant, they could very well sneak into the playoffs. So we'll see what happens there. But overall, my week one standout has to be Jameis Winston, just because I don't think anybody saw this kind of performance coming out of Jameis Winston. I want to hear from you, Caleb. What was your week one standout performance? It could be a team or it could be a player.
I got to give it to the Eagles, bro. I got to give it to the Eagles. Jalen Hurts, surprising performance. With that being said, Devontae Smith, not a surprising performance, but a great performance. For us to beat the Falcons that bad, I was kind of surprised. You know what I'm saying? Kind of surprised. But I honestly like the fact that Hurts came in and just shut everybody up, including myself. Like, I didn't think he was going to do that good, but he did that good. Like, he did that good. Miles Sanders played a great game. Devontae Smith played a great game. Jalen Reagor played a great game. Godart, great game. All those guys, offense looked great. So, Eagles, I got to give it to them. That team was just, like, my standout by far. I'm still thinking about the Eagles. Another standout team that I want to mention is the Rams. They came out and whooped ass. Matthew Stafford looked great. They played a sophisticated game. 20 for 26, 321 yards, 3 touchdowns. Solid game. Can't be mad at that. They fucking whooped the Chargers' ass, and they made it. I mean, not the Chargers, the Bears. And they made it look good. They made it look real good. So the Rams and the Eagles are two teams that are standouts for me, including both of their quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford, Jalen Hurts.
Yes, sir. I definitely like the sound of that. You know, if I were to add another one, I would just simply say Chandler Jones just being a flat out monster. I mean, 5 sacks in one game. He was a sack away from tying the NFL record for most sacks in a game, and 2 sacks away from breaking the all time record. And, you know, it wasn't like he was going against a cupcake line.
Go ahead.
It wasn't like he was going up against a cupcake line. he was going up against Taylor Lewan, who is one of the best tackles in the NFL, and he just flat out embarrassed him. He flat out outmanned him, outdid Taylor Lewan by a mile. You saw even Taylor Lewan, you know, tweet out, like, man, you know, I got my ass kicked, you know, today, you know, I can't let that happen. I'm definitely going to have a bounce back performance next week. But I mean, you look at Chandler Jones, not only did that to a rookie lineman, he did it to one of the best tackles in the NFL in Taylor Lewan. Like, people look at Taylor Lewan and simply say, you know, if you had to rank tackles, you know, you have Bakhtiari's, you have Tyron Smith's whenever he's healthy, and you put Taylor Lewan's name on the list just because you have him on your blind side and he is a good offensive lineman. Yeah, and you just have Chandler Jones in there just flat out bully him from start to finish. And, you know, you also have to look at and just simply say, man, that Watt signing by Arizona is such a huge signing just because that name recognition of J.J. Watt, knowing what he can do, you know, knowing that he's defensive player of the year caliber when healthy. And then on the other side of that, you got to worry about Chandler Jones.
And man, then you got, I mean, their defense is really, really good.
Yeah, and just the way how they just shut down Tennessee from start to finish. Derrick Henry barely cracked 50 yards rushing. A.J. Brown, for the most part, had a quiet game. Julio Jones, their main acquisition of the offseason, quiet game.
Quiet.
And even Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill, besides maybe that rushing touchdown, did not have himself a good game because he was pressured constantly. And, you know, I'd honestly say Chandler Jones strip sacked him at least twice. You know, when you're a quarterback and you're being pressured all game, it's very hard to be successful. And the Cardinals did that, and it was a great win by the Cardinals and a great game by Chandler Jones. You start out the season, man, with 5 sacks. Incredible. Dominant performance from there. That is my another week one standout performance that I have. Let's move on to other breakout performances we like to foresee happen. Caleb, what are some of your breakout rookie performances for week two? As highlighted, I believe in the last episode, you were throwing out guys like Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, you know, a lot of those young rookie receivers, which turned out to be great as we saw Ja'Marr Chase have himself a phenomenal game, over 100 yards with a touchdown. You saw Devontae Smith do phenomenal with Jalen Hurts. Just to highlight a couple of those rookies that you named last week, I want to hear some of your rookies this week.
You want to hit them rookies this week, man. All right. First, I want to shout out to Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Adams for those right picks, making me hit on those picks. Another rookie that had a great week last week, and my eyes going to be on him very, very heavy this week, is Jalen Waddle. He balled out. That was a big win for Miami. We speak about the little things. When you're going in that division, it's the little things that can get you to the playoffs every year, especially with Bill. It's always the little things. So I think that was huge. He had a huge game. Another speedy guy, Tyreek Hill type of receiver. Again, another receiver that had a great week that I'm going to look for is Rondale Moore with the Cardinals. And he's another fast, speedy guy that makes plays and is a playmaker. So those would be my two guys that I'm looking at as far as my rookies next week. I have a question for you, Matt. Is Elijah Mitchell a rookie?
Yeah, I would honestly say, like, my rookie standout performances that I would have for week two would simply be this. I will say not Najee Harris. He had an okay game last week against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, it was kind of hard to watch happen just because that Bills had such a dominant defense. But I believe Najee Harris will have a bounce back performance against the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm gonna put him on my breakout rookies for week two. I am also going to put out, I want to see Devontae Smith again. I want to see Devontae Smith this time against the 49ers defense. Atlanta's defense, we know, is very on and off, so it was understandable for Devontae Smith to have a good game.
Okay.
I want to see how well he plays against the 49ers. And one of the last rookies that I want to throw out there, he did not have a good week one performance, but I do hope for him to bounce back. They may play against a good team in Tampa, but I want to see Kyle Pitts. He was. I didn't really like how he was utilized against you know, a team like Philadelphia. Granted, they are playing another tough defense in Tampa, but I just kind of want to see, you know, how is Arthur Smith going to utilize Kyle Pitts better? Because I didn't really like how he was utilized last game. And I just want to see, you know, Arthur Smith, how are you going to utilize Kyle Pitts to your advantage? I think he's got a bounce back week. It is against Tampa. They are one of the best defenses in the NFL. But don't be shocked if Kyle Pitts has a performance of, you know, maybe 6-7 catches, you know, maybe 60-70 yards and a touchdown. You know, that's just something that I believe Kyle Pitts will do, and I believe Kyle Pitts is going to bounce back with vengeance. And one last player that I will highlight is Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm. It may have been atrocious in week one, but week two, coming home, a debut home game at Jacksonville. You're playing the Denver Broncos. Trevor Lawrence, your first game at home in a full capacity stadium. Jacksonville's going to be rocking just to see what this kid, Trevor Lawrence, can do.
Yeah.
I believe he will bounce back and have a better game. And, I mean, you look at Jacksonville, man, they've had a long losing streak. They've lost 16 consecutive games, longest losing streak since the 0-16 Cleveland Browns. Hopefully the Jaguars can bounce back. It's going to be tough because they play a Broncos team that has a very good defense that we saw on full display against the Giants last week. But I believe Trevor Lawrence will have a breakout rookie performance. And, you know, those are just overall the rookies that I believe will have breakout performances in week two.
And before we go any further, I forgot to throw one guy out, and I think we're overlooking him. Although week one was all right, wasn't too spavvy, but wasn't the worst week. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at Mac Jones in week two. I'm looking at Mac Jones. I think he might pop. They got the Jets. It's gonna be a good one. We get to see Darnold and Jones. I mean Wilson and Jones, two rookie quarterbacks, go at it. I'm looking for Mac Jones in this one. Another guy in week two that I think is bound to have a great week. And it's a divisional matchup. So another divisional matchup. Can't forget Mac Jones.
I definitely like the sound of that, you know, seeing Mac Jones up there. He had a decent performance week one, you know, besides the horrible, atrocious play of throwing it backwards, you know, for the most part, he had himself a phenomenal performance. And, you know, and hopefully, you know, he could become better. With that being said, let's move on to our week two picks. Week one, I did not do so good. I only had 8 wins last week. I went 500. My picks were not good. There were a lot of signings. A lot of things I went down in week one. You know, definitely going to be, you know, hopefully I have a better week this week for my picks, and I feel much better about my week two picks this week. Let's first start off with this game, Caleb. The Houston Texans travel to Cleveland to play the Browns. Who you got winning this game?
Who do I have winning this game? I got the Browns winning this game. They look really good. Against the Chiefs. But it's the Chiefs, right? Like, you can look as good as you want, but when you're playing the Chiefs, like, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. But I got the Browns at this one. Also, you know, they play the Texans. The Texans had a very, very impressive performance versus the Jaguars last week. But I don't think they have enough. So with that being said, I'm going with Cleveland. Cleveland better win this one.
Definitely great points made there. I agree with you as well. I got the Browns winning this game. I think Houston got lucky last week when they played a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars, who just are not that good. You know, they got a lot of things to work on. They're going to Cleveland. It's going to be the Cleveland Browns' first home game with a full capacity crowd in about 2 years. I think it's going to be something to where the Browns are going to have a great performance. I think they have a sour taste in their mouth, especially when they let the game against the Chiefs slip out of their hands. I think they're going to bounce back, and I think it's going to be a great win by the Cleveland Browns. Let's move on to another game. The New Orleans Saints go to Carolina to play the Carolina Panthers. I'll start off first by saying I believe the Saints are going to win this game. I witnessed the Saints firsthand in their demolition of the Green Bay Packers. Jameis Winston looked phenomenal. The defense looked great. They had a great game plan. I expect, in my opinion, I want the only thing I would say for the Saints week two is I want to see Callaway get more involved with the offense. Because for the most part, we didn't really see Callaway. He was pretty much targeted twice, only had one catch. For the most part, it was just pretty much the Jameis Winston, Alvin Kamara show. For the most part, in week one, I think week two, I want to see how Sean Payton and the Saints involve Callaway more. But I believe the Saints, they looked phenomenal. They looked like they didn't miss a beat. They looked like they were throwing the ball. You know, they're more bigger plays further down the field. And I expect them to go into Carolina, and I believe they're going to get the victory. Who do you got, Caleb?
Man, I got the Saints, my man. I got the Saints. Trying not to be too biased here. but, yeah, I think the Saints are going to get this one. Hopefully Winston, you know, puts on another 5-touchdown performance. This week I see him throwing 4 for 217, but I do see it being a competitive game between the Carolina Panthers. But overall, I think the Saints take this one and go 2-0.
I like the sound of that. Let's move on to another game that I believe is going to be a good one. The Battle of the Rookie Quarterbacks. The New England Patriots head to New Jersey to play the New York Jets at MetLife. Both teams are 0-1, but the main stat to look at is the Patriots have won 10 straight games against the New York Jets. Caleb, will the Patriots make it 11 in a row, or will the Jets pull off the upset at home?
I think the Patriots make it, bro. I'm going with the Patriots. It's really a tough one, but I got the Patriots, man. I got the Patriots.
Definitely good points made there. I got the New England Patriots as well.
Okay.
I think the Patriots are looking at what happened last week against Miami. Kind of the same situation I feel like with the Giants and Washington on Thursday, man. They just let it slip. You know, the Patriots had control of the game. And, you know, if it weren't for Damian Harris fumbling the ball with 3 minutes left in the ball game, we could be looking at the Patriots on a whole different lens. But because that happened and they lost, I think they're going to go into this week. Bill Belichick has a very good track record against rookie quarterbacks. I think Bill Belichick is going to put on a clinic, and I think Bill Belichick is just going to outclass the Jets. I mean, look at the Jets. They got a rookie quarterback, rookie head coach. Bill's been a veteran, been there, done that. Mac Jones knows the offense, knows the system. I expect the Patriots to have a bounce back performance against the New York Jets. Let's move on to another game that could be interesting to some people. We got Teddy Two Gloves and the Denver Broncos traveling to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence. I'll start off first by saying I believe the Denver Broncos are to go in there and lay a haymaker on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know I highlighted Trevor Lawrence as one of my breakout rookie performances, but that's going to be the only thing that's going to be going for the Jaguars. Other than that, the rest of the team is just flat out atrocious. I mean, Urban Meyer did not look good coaching in week one. He looked outclassed. I mean, just basically everything you named for the Jaguars went wrong. And that was against the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
This Denver Broncos squad has a pretty damn good sleeper defense. Like, there, you got Bradley Chubb, Von Miller, you got Kyle Fuller with Patrick Surtain on that defense. I mean, the defense is legit. I think they're going to cause a lot of problems. And I think Denver's going to go into Jacksonville. I think they're going to get this W. Who do you have taking this win, Caleb?
Man, you know what? I think Jacksonville is going to come in there and do their thing. I think Jacksonville is going to come in there and do their thing. Last week, I feel like Lawrence had a pretty good week. 332 yards. Not a pretty good week. Not a pretty good week. Let me take that back. He had a good week. He did throw a lot of interceptions, and he did throw the ball quite a lot. So I think this game, they're going to cut a lot of that down, and this game is going to be a lot more time efficient. Because what did you call it, Teddy?
Teddy Two Gloves.
Teddy Two Gloves. Because he does wear two gloves. Yeah, I just think, like, you know, when you any team that Teddy's been on, they're like a very, very, like, time efficient team with, okay, they're going to take 30 seconds off the clock, run a play, then run another play and run another play. It's not too quick, not too much quick offense. With that being said, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence that's going to limit his turnovers or his chance of getting high turnovers. And I think they're going to come out on top of this one, bro. I think they got this.
I like the sound of that. First game you and I differ in, and no, we'll see what happens in that game. It's definitely going to be a good one to see there. Let's move on to another good game that was going to go down this week. The Buffalo Bills travel to Miami and play Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. Who do you got winning this game, Caleb?
Man, I got bounce back Buffalo sauce winning this game, man. Bounce back Buffalo Bills, man. They got to bounce back. They got to bounce back. Bounce back Buffalo Bills sauce going to win this game.
Did you just say bounce back Buffalo Bills sauce?
Yes, sir. You came with the nickname.
Like the Buffalo sauce?
Yeah, dog. You came with the nickname with Teddy Two Gloves. I had to come with some fly shit after that.
All right. Hey, that's pretty fly, man. I will say, I think the Buffalo Bills bounce back as well. I think the way how they performed last week against the Steelers was not good. Give credit to the Steelers defense. They kept Josh Allen and everything in check.
They did.
I think Buffalo's going to go into Miami. There's also a stat line. They've won 5 straight games versus Miami and have scored 30-plus points in each game. I expect that same performance out of Buffalo, especially when they're a team that a lot of people say are competing in the AFC with Kansas City. A lot of people say, you know, like, oh, it's Kansas City, then Buffalo. Buffalo did not look like the second-best team in the AFC last week. So I expect them to have a bounce-back performance, because if they're strong against Miami and they fall to 0-2, that panic button's going to be pressing down in Buffalo. But I believe they'll bounce back. Give me Buffalo with the win over the Miami Dolphins. Let's move on to...
Bounce back Buffalo Bills sauce. I think we just came with the name right there.
That's right. The bounce back Buffalo Bills sauce, or as some people like to classify them as, the Bills Mafia.
Yeah, you dig that. You dig that. You dig that. Okay.
But... let's move on to another game that, you know, it could be classified as a good game for some people. We got Jimmy G and the San Francisco 49ers traveling to Philly to play Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh.
I'll start off first by saying I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a close game, a lot closer game than people expect. But I do have the 49ers going into Philadelphia, and I believe they will get the win. I just think the 49ers are just a better equipped team right now. The 49ers are a team, you know, they got the defense. They have the quarterback that won't turn the ball over. They look great against Detroit. I don't believe we'll see another, you know, almost meltdown that happened against Detroit. I think San Francisco is going to go in there, and they're just going to go full throttle start to finish. And I think San Francisco is going to Philadelphia, and I think they're going to win this game. But I will say, don't discourage Philly. They already, in my opinion, look much better than last year. Last year, they seemed to be very sluggish, very slow. But in week one, they looked high-flying. They looked fast. Jalen Hurts looked consistent. I will say it will be a close game, but I think the 49ers edged this one out. Who do you have winning this game, Caleb?
Man, I'm rolling with the Eagles. No bias. Eagles, no bias. No bias. No bias. I'm rolling with the Eagles. No bias.
Oh, I think, man, I like that.
If they be disciplined and play, like, stick to their game, I think they have a chance at very well winning it. Again, I do understand what you mean by the Niners being a more equipped team. I'd have to agree, honestly. I'd have to agree. I think they're a more equipped team as well. I think the Eagles are just a little bit more disciplined in the way they play. And seeing how the Niners almost went for a meltdown last week against Jared Goff does kind of get me to crinkle my toes a little bit and curl my toes. And I don't like that. I don't like betting on a team that I got to curl my toes with. So I'm going with the Eagles, and I think that they, you know, they have a chance as long as they stick to their game. If they could stick to their game, I think they could. They definitely have a chance. So I'm riding with the Eagles.
I definitely like the sound of that. That's going to be I will say, the upset pick of the week if it does happen. Let's move on to this game that could very well be one of the highlight games in week two. Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams travel to Indy to play Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts. I'll throw this one out to you, Caleb. Who do you have winning this game? Will the Colts bounce back after a week one performance against the Seahawks, or will Matthew Stafford and the Rams stay rolling?
Matthew Stafford and the Rams stay rolling. Stop playing. You know that's going to happen. But Carson Wentz and the Colts did have a pretty good performance last week, although they did lose. They did have a solid performance. I expect it to be a good game. But I'm rolling with my guys.
I like the sound of that. I agree with you as well. I think the Rams are going to take care of business against the Indianapolis Colts. And I just simply think, just for the fact of it's between the quarterback battles, I trust Matthew Stafford more. The way how Stafford looked against Chicago in week one was phenomenal. I will say, though, this will be a bigger test just because the Colts are a better defense than Chicago. They have DeForest Buckner there. They got a decent secondary. Their defense is one of those defenses where you don't sleep on that defense. But I think Matthew Stafford and the Rams, the way how that offense looked in week one, man, I just think they're going to keep rolling. And I think the Rams are going to take care of business against Indy and move to 2-0 in a highly competitive NFC West. Let's move on to another game. And it's a classic. The Las Vegas Raiders travel to Heinz Field to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. The old rivalry in the 70s. The old, you know, dirty football, big hits, Raiders, Steelers at Heinz Field. First game in Pittsburgh with the sellout crowd in a long time. Man, I'll start off first by saying, give me the Pittsburgh Steelers over the Las Vegas Raiders. I think the Raiders got lucky in their week one performance against the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Ravens choked that game away. The Ravens had it in the bag. They were up 14-0. They had Lamar Jackson with the ball at the end, and he just simply choked and melted down in that game. I think it'll be much different. I think Pittsburgh, they're rolling in on their high horse, coming off a statement win against Buffalo. And I think they're going to continue that same energy when they play the Las Vegas Raiders. I think Najee Harris is going to have a bounce-back performance. I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to keep on playing well in what could be his last season. Give me the Steelers over the Las Vegas Raiders. I want to hear from you, Caleb. Who do you have winning this game?
Man, give me Vegas. Give me Vegas. I got Vegas. I think the Raiders played great last week. Derek Carr played great. Defense played great last week. They looked like a team that has some potential to make some noise. You feel me? I'm going with the Raiders, bro. I just think that they're getting a lot better. I love Gruden's play calling. Derek Carr looks like he's gonna have a very, very good season, and they're just more explosive to me. So I'm going with the Raiders. That might be another upset. I'm going for all the upsets. I'm the upset guy.
Hey, I will say those picks are bold, but if they work, man, you'll look like an utter genius.
Hey, I might be that. That might just be me.
Mm-hmm. With that being said, let's move on to this another game here to round out the 1 o'clock Eastern games on week two. You got the Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow and crew, travel to Soldier Field to play Andy Dalton and the Chicago Bears. Andy Dalton playing his former team, the Cincinnati Bengals, which he had a lot of good years with, a lot of playoff appearances for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now he's on the Bears. The Bengals got their guy in Joe Burrow. I'll throw it out to you, Caleb. Who do you got winning this game?
I have the Bengals, man. Joe Burrow made a great performance last week, right?
He sure did.
Jamar Chase, great performance. All right. All right. T. Higgins, great performance. I'm a guy that's super big on offense. If you guys haven't noticed yet, it's been 58 episodes. And I love guys, our teams that bring the offense to another level. So with that being said, I'm going with the Bengals. Bears, they need a lot of work to do. I mean, I don't think I'll take them seriously until they go ahead and put Fields in as starter. I'll allow going Owen however much until they put Fields in. So
yeah, Owen however much until they put in Fields. Man,
I don't think Dalton gets this one, bro. Let me know. What do you think? Do you think Dalton gets this? I don't think Dalton gets.
I think I'm going with Chicago Bears in this one. I think I believe Chicago. The one thing about the Bears a lot of people forget last week is the Bears defense kept them in that, you know, it was close for about three quarters. I mean, you look at it started off bad, but the Bears, they started off promising when they had that 41-yard run by David Montgomery. They were moving the ball down the field, and then, you know, the Bears just had two bad luck plays where the ball simply got bad in the air and it was picked in the end zone. And then about a play or two later, Stafford throws that deep pass to Van Jefferson, wasn't touched, gets up, goes for a touchdown. But I honestly think, you know, that Bears defense held them in check, you know, for most of the game. You saw, I believe at one point it got as close as 14-10. And, you know, it just so happened that, you know, eventually the Bears offense just couldn't get it done. And the Bears defense ran out of gas. And I believe they're going to go into this performance against Cincinnati. I think their defense is going to hold Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase in check. And I think Andy Dalton is going to come with a little bit of vengeance because he's facing his former team, the Cincinnati Bengals. And I always love the backstories of playing their former teams. You know, I love the Sam Darnold going against the former team of the New York Jets. And I kind of thought he was going to have a dominant performance then. Mm-hmm. And what happens? Sam Darnold gets the win.
He had a pretty good performance, by the way.
And I think the same thing is going to be for Andy Dalton. You know, Andy Dalton's going to kind of look at the Cincinnati Bengals and just simply say, you know what? I felt disrespected with how you treated me near the end, benching me on my birthday, you know, my final season. I feel disrespected. I'm going to slice you up, slice and dice, and I think the Bears are going to get the job done. Oh, Cincinnati Bengals. But it will be a close game from start to finish. Let's move on to the next slate of games, the 4:05 Eastern games. We got the Minnesota Vikings traveling to Glendale, Arizona, to play those high-flying Arizona Cardinals. I'll throw it to you, Caleb. Who you got winning this game and why?
Man, I got them Cardinals, boy. They got that defense. On their defense, they serving luck, right? And Kyler Murray, oh, my God. I'm surprised we didn't have him on a standout for week one. I kind of feel like I disrespected him a little bit, you know? DeAndre Hopkins, he did his thing too. Christian Kirk, another guy who did his thing. I'm going with the Cardinals. I think the Vikings, they definitely are going to be looking for a bounce back. I just don't think they get it against the Cardinals, my boy. I just don't get it.
Okay, yeah, I 100% agree with you as well. Give me the Arizona Cardinals. They looked phenomenal in week one. They got their first game at home in Glendale, run of a full sellout crowd. They're going to see Watt and company. They're going to see DeAndre Hopkins. They're going to see Kyler Murray, who looks to be on a potential run for the MVP award. Mm. And I just think their head and shoulders way better than the Minnesota Vikings. And I believe the Cardinals are going to get a big win. I think even potentially by double digits. I firmly believe the Cardinals are going to be a competitive team. Let's move on to another game. The Atlanta Falcons will travel to Raymond James Stadium to play the reigning, defending, undisputed Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You and I both agree on this one. It's a no-brainer. Yeah. I know for a fact I am going with the Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs are just simply head and shoulders better than Atlanta. Atlanta looks to be on a rebuild phase. Meanwhile, the Bucks are in contention for a Super Bowl. And I think Tom Brady, he started out with the troll game where you saw in the background on his clock, it was 3:28. As you guys know, what happened when Brady played the Falcons in the Super Bowl, 28-3, 3:28. Brady's going to go in there and he's going to slice and dice the Atlanta Falcons. Tom Brady, even a stat line shows he is 8-0 in his career against Atlanta. I think that's going to continue and go to 9-0. I want to hear what you got, Caleb, and tell me why it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Man, I'm glad you said, tell me why it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, because Brady's on the team. That's all they need.